Well, glory to God. Aren't you glad you know Him tonight? And better yet, I think I'm even more glad that He knows me. I'm glad He knows me tonight. I'm glad He allows me to come and fall at His feet. And just cry out for mercy at times, cry out for help at times, but I'm just glad that after everything that I am tonight, He still loves me. Still cares about me. Thank you, Brother Ken, for the opportunity to come preach. Brother, I love you so much. And I appreciate the goodness of God. And well, I just feel His presence here tonight. I just want to be careful what I do. I don't want to tread over Him. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And if you would, stand for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. I've got nothing to boast in tonight. I'm nobody and I know it. And it's a good thing that I know it. I know who I was before He showed up. That keeps me humble about where I'm at. If I ever get to thinking that I'm somebody, He knows how to knock me back down to where I'm nobody. And I notice that when I'm prideful, He resists me. But when I'm humble, He gives grace. Thankful that He knows how to get us humble tonight. I'm going to begin reading in verse 43. I don't know, this text jumped to me tonight. This is where He has planted my feet. And I ask Him, God, why would You want me to preach this to a bunch of Christians? But I think the simple answer is if the devil wants to convince anybody that God is done doing miracles, it's Christians. We're the ones He wants to slow down. It ain't the drunks and the drug addicts and all that mess. He's doing whatever He wants to them. But if He can get us convinced that we're hopeless now, if He can convince us that we've gone too far to ask God for a big miracle, or that God would do something big or something good in a horrible situation, it's us. And so I hope tonight, if you've come in here thinking that the game is over and things are all done for you, I pray tonight that you'd leave here with some hope. The Bible says in verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, the best two words I ever heard in my life, follow me. I have followed after some wicked people. I followed after my daddy when I was just a young boy. In and out of those bars, I followed drug dealers. I followed many a folk that have led me astray many a times. But can I say to you tonight, 15 years ago when I heard the Savior speak my name and say, Jack, follow me. And I say things have been picking up since then. Verse 44, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, tonight I want to preach from this little verse right here, and I want to ask and answer a question tonight if we can. This question that Nathanael seems to have on his heart. When Philip says to him, we have found Jesus of Nazareth. Aren't you glad somebody found Christ or Christ found them? And the first thing they wanted to do is bring you to the one that they had found. And Nathanael says unto him in verse 46, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Boy, if you're me right now and you knew who I was back before He got a hold of me, I'd just like to dive into this text right now and say unto Him, yes, 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 something good can come out of your Nazareth. And this is His response to that question. Hallelujah. Come and see. You may be seated. Father, thank You tonight for this opportunity, Lord, just to brag on You for just a moment. Lord, help me to get out of the way tonight and be a blessing to Your people. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, if we didn't know anything about Nazareth, we could assume from this question here that he asked that it is a place of low expectation. And I don't have time to go in all the history of Nazareth, but Scripture itself gives us a little window into what that place is like. We can get an idea of why he asked this question. In Luke chapter 14, the Bible says that Jesus went back to Nazareth and preached in the synagogue, and it says that they brought him the book of Isaiah. And he opened it up and begins to expound some truth to them. And the Bible says that those people were filled with wrath. Now, I know sometimes truth hurts, but it ought not fill you with wrath. And those folks get Jesus by the hands or by the legs or however they do, and they take him to the edge of the city and try to cast him over a head or over a mountain head first. And he slips away out of their presence. And that's one window into this place. Another place is in Mark 6. It says he taught again in the synagogue, and there he preached again as he did, and it says that they were offended at him. And Jesus, the Son of God, this amazes me. The one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who lined the heavens with the streets of gold. Those jasper walls, those gates of pearl. All the stars in the sky. All the mountains that He said, come on this high and stop. All the waters that He said, come on this far and stop. I'm talking about the God of glory. The God of creation. It says here in this text that He marveled. How do you get the God of glory to marvel at anything? But it says He marveled, and it was at their unbelief. Now this is what Nathaniel was picturing when he is saying that after I have examined Nazareth, after I have experienced Nazareth, and after I'm exhausted with Nazareth, you come to the conclusion that there is nothing of value that can be extracted from Nazareth. How could it be? How could it be, he says, that something so good and something so God can come out of a place that's so bad? Can I say to you tonight, can I proclaim to you tonight, can I remind you tonight that God reveals Himself through the impossibilities of life? And might I add this, the greater the impossibility, the greater the revelation. And me and a preacher friend of mine was in North Carolina this week, and we sat around at the table and got to discussing how all through the Scripture, God takes men and women whose lives are a mess, who are a mess, and makes a message out of them. And can I say to you tonight, if you could have got a glimpse at this old boy standing before you 15 years ago in that little 5x8 concrete jail cell on my way back to prison for round number 2, you'd have said, that's a mess. But I'm glad today I stand before you and He has created a message out of this mess. You say, what's that message? Jesus saves. Jesus saves is the message that He has brought out of this mess. Aren't you glad tonight that it's not over until He says it's over? But you see, this isn't the first time this question has been pondered down through the ages. I started thinking about some folks in the Bible, in which if you would have looked at through your human eyes, you would have said, oh boy, nothing good can come out of this. I thought about those three Hebrew children as they are being brought to Nebuchadnezzar, and they stand before him, and you know the story. He makes the golden image and tells them they got to bow down or be cast into the fire. And of course, they turn that down. They're not going to bow down. And then he brings them before him and gives them a second chance and says, all right now, here it is. Bow down to the image or you'll be thrown into the fire. But they're not going to bow down. They've decided they're going to stand for God. I don't care if you throw me in the fire. And I'm thankful tonight that there's still some men of God out there that's going to stand with God no matter what this world threatens them with or anything like that. But they're not going to bow down. And He says, all right, heat that fire up. And His army men grab them boys by the arms and they begin to lead them up that ramp. And everything in me says His loved ones that are standing around them have got to be saying to them, all right, you've proved your point. You've made your point. Just bow down and act like you're going to worship them. We know you're not. Because it just don't look good for them. And as they're being led up that ramp toward that fire, if we were to hit the pause button right midway up that ramp and pass out a questionnaire in here tonight and say, put me four or five things down that you think's going to come out of that that's going to be good. I ponder tonight that the answer would be zero. Nothing good can come out of this. But then you hit the play button, honey, and just a few moments later, the Bible says they threw them and they fell down bound into the midst of the fire. And old Nebuchadnezzar looks down through there and says, uh-oh, I threw three of them in there. But then looks like there's a fourth one in there now, and he looks like the Son of God. You know the rest of the story, honey. He makes a new decree. All of a sudden, something come out of that, he's just going to rewrite a law now. No one better talk against the God of the three Hebrew children, because there's no other God that can deliver you from such a thing. How about David running toward a fierce Goliath with just a sling and a stone? Hit the pause button halfway through that field as he's charging Goliath. Let me pass out the questionnaire tonight. You tell me four or five things that's going to come good out of David charging that machine of a man. Zero. I hesitate to say to you, zero. But hit the play button and just a few minutes later, he's got the head of that Goliath in his hands, honey. And they've got the Philistines running for fear. He saves his country from them wicked people. How about the thief on the cross? How about the thief on... It's too late for him. Hit the pause button and tell me. He's already nailed to the cross. There's nothing good that can come out of this. But hit it again, the play button, and you find out it just so happens that he's hung next to the Savior of the world. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you tonight, something good can, thank God, come out of your Nazareth tonight. I'm preaching to someone in here tonight that's got a situation in their life. Oh, and they're looking at it and they're saying, oh God, I know this is bad. And there's nothing good that can come out of this. I want to say to you tonight, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. If you would have seen me in that cell 15 years ago, and you would have said, what good's going to come out of that? I promise you the answer would have been nothing. Hey, Joseph, what are you going to do now? You're thrown in the pit, sold off into slavery. Hey, you're Potiphar's wife turned on you, and now you're in the jail cell. What you going to do now? But he saves an entire nation through that. All through the Bible, I could go on and on tonight. Jonah, what's it looking like for you in the bottom of that well? Ooh, aren't you glad tonight that God is big enough to drag a man from the pits of hell, honey, and set him in a place to where he can change an entire city? Can there any good thing come out of your Nazareth tonight? And I want to use Nazareth as that thing, as I said, in your life that you're sure tonight nothing good is coming out of it. I just found three simple things quickly that God brought out of Nazareth with Him. First of all, hope came out of Nazareth. Hope came out. Ain't you glad for hope tonight? I stand before you tonight saved because of hope. I stand before you tonight with a life that is headed in the right direction because of hope. And I don't know if this is going to bother these liberals out here or not, but I've got news for them. Jesus is not just a good man. And Jesus is not just a prophet. He is God. And for those of us that are stuck in a Nazareth situation tonight, in a miserable situation tonight, in a hopeless situation tonight, this same Jesus, the Bible says, is the God of hope. Aren't you glad that we don't serve the God of wrath or the God of misery or the God of hate, but He's the God of hope tonight? In Romans 15:13, the Bible says, now, I like that word now, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Can I just say to you tonight, you don't have to wait 4 or 5 days for hope, honey. You don't got to wait for a doctor to write you a prescription for hope. The Bible says now the God of hope fill you. Brother Ken, there's been times in my life where I haven't had time to wait for hope. I needed hope and I needed it right now. I'm glad to announce to you tonight, you can have it and you can have it now. He is the God of hope, this Jesus of Nazareth. The one, He is hope tonight. And He is hope now. Do you need tonight, do you need hope now? Good news is you can have it now. But I notice this God of hope isn't just the hope for now. But He's so big, God is the hope of tomorrow. Isn't this a blessing that we serve an omnipresent God? He's already in tomorrow. Do you realize that tonight? And the Bible said that He will never leave me nor forsake me. Little old me. And if He ain't going to leave me nor forsake me, that means He's already going to be in tomorrow. And if He's in tomorrow when I get there, by default, I've got hope. He's the God of tomorrow. And you say, honey, I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. Well, I've got news for you. I know who holds tomorrow. He's the God of hope. He can give you hope now. He can give you hope tomorrow. He's already in tomorrow. But God is so big for those of you who are like me and messed your life up so bad and have made mistakes even today and even yesterday that you think my life is destroyed because of that. Do you know that God is such a God of hope that He can go back into your yesterday and draw up those old things that you thought once were for the wicked? Hey! Hey, boys! I know you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good! Everything that I had done prior to the day I met Christ, I know that I and the devil meant it for evil. But I'm so thankful as I go in and out of them prisons, Brother Ken, everything, all the hope that I'm able to bring them comes out of the past that I once lived. The God of hope fill you tonight with joy and peace in belief. I think of some hopeless cases in Scripture, but one I think of the most is this woman with the issue of blood, where the Bible said she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and nothing was bettered but rather grew the worse. Let me ask you, what options does she have at this point but to lay down and die? What options does she have left? She has none. And that's exactly where Christ wants her. If she gets hope from anybody but Him, she's still hopeless. The Bible says, but when she heard of Jesus, boy, something perked up. Something perked up in her. And she heard how He healed that blind man, and she heard how He raised the dead man, and she heard how the lame is now walking, and she heard how the lepers are now cleansed, and she heard, isn't it a blessing? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. And she gets up enough hope in her heart. All odds are against her. The law's against her. She's not allowed to touch nobody. She's an unclean thing. But sometimes hope will do something for you that's against everything. You'll do something that's against everything. She gets enough hope up to crawl through that crowd. And for the first time in Scripture, somebody has got enough hope that if they'll just touch but the hem of His garment, she says, I shall be made whole. And she's made whole. You say, well, what hope come out of her? Well, let me tell you, do you realize in the very next chapter, when they get off the boat from that great storm, Either she went with them or her hope went with them. Because when they come out of that ship, the Bible says that they brought those sick people that were in the city, as it were, out into the streets. That Jesus would walk through the midst of them. And for the second time in the Bible, it says that if they were to touch the hem of His garment, and all that touched Him were made whole. I'll tell you what hope came out of her, Nazareth. Everybody that is in the same condition she is in now has hope that they can be healed. Oh, it's a blessing tonight to know that although I spent all those years in prison, although I spent all those years in agony and shame, the day that Lord brought me up out of that place, He wasn't only bringing me out, He was bringing hope out with Him. And everyone that's in my condition, you know, nobody, I don't want nobody to get sick. I didn't want to spend all those years in prison. Matter of fact, I didn't want that young Mexican boy to spend any time in prison. But I sure was thankful that he did, because all through that, he got hope in Christ. And he carried that hope from that meeting he came from right on into that jail cell where I was, honey. And he gave me hope. Hope came out of Nazareth. Hey, let me say this. Never underestimate the power that's lying in the confines of your Nazareth tonight. What you're miserable in tonight could be the rescue for somebody else tomorrow. Hope came out of Nazareth. But not only hope, healing came out of Nazareth. Healing come out. You know, we're sinners. We're all a bunch of sinners, and all sinners do or can do is destroy everything in their path. We break things, we bend things, we destroy things. But I'm glad for Isaiah 53:5. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. Yes, He healed the blind, but can I tell you something? He healed my eyes too. I needed my eyes healed so that I would stop looking where I didn't need to look anymore. Hey, He healed the lame, but He also healed my lame legs so that I'd quit walking where I didn't need to walk anymore. He healed the dumb, but can I say my mouth needed healed so that I could start speaking a heavenly language? Ain't you glad tonight that no matter how bad it is, hey, when the doctors can't heal you, when the drugs can't heal you, when not even time can heal you, that we've got a God that can heal you tonight. Some of you have prayed for your children for so long, prayed for your grandchildren for so long, and I know tonight it may seem as though this is never going to end. But I want to give you a little encouragement tonight about this God who can bring a healing out of your Nazareth. I started preaching in a halfway house about 6 weeks ago. And the first night I preached in there, a young man came forward, gave his life to Christ, was so broken, and called on God to save him. I know it was real because he came the next Sunday, then Sunday school, then Sunday morning, then Sunday school. And week after week, he comes back, he raises his hand, he started wearing suits. You know that when you get a work done on the inside, honey, it ought to show up on the outside. And sure it did. And one night he came to church, and finally he had come out of that halfway house, Brother Ken, and had passed the program he was in. And he got there, and I had a little bit of money in my pocket, and I gave it to him for gas money. And he went home to his mother, and he started weeping to his mom about this man that God had led into his life, and how things had been changing so big for him and getting so much better. And you know, that's what Jesus does, thank God. Aren't you glad? He makes things better. He don't make things worse. Hallelujah. He goes home in front of his Catholic mom and daddy, and he begins to tell them about this man. Let me tell you what happened. She says, "Wait a minute, what's his name?" And he said, "It's Jack." She said, "What's his last name?" And he said, "Williams." And she slaps herself in the mouth and takes off running down the hallway. And he said, "I didn't know what she was doing." She's scrambling through a junk drawer and pulls this business card out. Comes running back through the hallway and says, "Is this him? Is this him?" And he said, "I don't know any." Started dialing the phone number, and my name popped up in his phone. Listen, friend, God hears your prayers tonight. I want you to know that. 7 years ago, almost to the day, a woman and a man called me to come paint their mudroom and their kitchen. And while I was there painting their mudroom and their kitchen, somehow or another the story came out, my testimony came out as I was witnessing to them, and they began to tell me about their 16, 17-year-old boy who was living in the basement, who was on all kinds of drugs, and he was a mess, and it was destroying their home. Everything had been upside down because of this son of theirs. And I remember grabbing them by the arms and around their neck, and they wept on my shoulders. They cried for their son. He was such a mess. He was such a mess. Broke every one of their hearts. And I remember praying for them. And I walked out of that home after I was all said and done. Never thought much about them ever again. Would you know, almost 7 years later, that same boy that broke everything, and he had destroyed much more since that day, that same boy I prayed for, God had made such a circle. Oh, it took almost 7 years. But the circle came back around, Brother Ken, and the Lord allowed me. That was the boy that I had led to the Lord in that halfway house. And tonight, the mother and father, I could hear them on the other line saying, "Can you believe it, Jack? I've got my baby boy. I've got him back." Rehab couldn't do it. Drug counseling couldn't do it. A good long pep talk couldn't do it. But oh, I want you to know, Jesus of Nazareth could do it tonight. And tonight, He's somewhere helping somebody else get healed. Get healed tonight. Hope came out of Nazareth. Thank God healing came out of Nazareth. But I just want to close with this and say, heaven came out of Nazareth. You know, I don't never want my boys to have to go through what I went through. I've got three sons. I love them. Can I say to you, if you're sitting in here tonight and you got saved as a young boy and you served God all your life, don't think that you ain't got a testimony. You've got the best one. I'd give mine for yours right now. But can I say to you, sometimes it takes a little more to get us to heaven than it does others. And I thought about this. If you would have been Mary and John standing at the foot of that cross that night, and you looked up and your boy was hanging from that cross, beaten so bad his flesh was ripped off, that blood running down his face as they treated him like a dog! Like a dog they treated him! And if you could have just got a glimpse, I know we've seen pictures, honey. I don't think the pictures do no justice of what he looked like on that day. Of what our sin made him look like on that day. And I think if you were John and Mary and you were standing at the foot of that cross as he started uttering some words to you and you were to reach over and hit the pause button, I wonder if you could have came up with a few things that was going to come out of that was going to be good. I think the answer is no, my friend. But Brother Jamie, if you just reach over just a couple minutes later and hit the play button. As they carried my Lord and my Savior off that cross and put Him in that grave. Can I tell you, 3 days later, heaven came up out of that Nazareth. And here's the good news tonight. He brought your keys to death and hell, and He brought my keys to death and hell with Him out of that place. I'm glad, although that's what it took, that when it was all said and done, heaven came out of that Nazareth. And can I say to you tonight, I know my mother didn't want to see me back in prison. I know my dear wife didn't want to see me back in prison. She just told me she was pregnant. I knew in my mind I wasn't going to see my son over there, my firstborn son, Justin. Not born. I knew I had to meet him across the table at a visiting room in prison. My sins took me far and deep, friend. All the agony in that short time I was home before I went back to prison was so ungodly and so ugly. And as I sat there, of all the promises I broke, of all the hearts I broke, certainly I thought to myself, there's nothing good coming out of this.
Can I tell you, I've got a mansion in glory tonight. I've got a home in heaven tonight. I'll never smell like the ashes and dust of hell tonight. All because of that Nazareth that I sat in on that day. And I want to say to you tonight, it may look ugly for your sons and daughters right now. It may look bad. The doctor may have given you a bad report. Something in your life tonight may look awful. You may have come in here and it's awful. But let me ask you something. Would you change it if you knew heaven was going to come out of it? Yeah. It could be tonight. It could be tonight that whatever that person is, that God is leading them to heaven. And tonight, this old sinner boy right here has led hundreds, not one or two, hundreds of somebody's sons to Christ since I got saved. And all that mess, God took it and has made something good out of that mess of a man that I was. Wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't you thank God for the turmoil that I went through, honey, if it led me to your son's footsteps and your son being the same mess I was? And God's testimony of hope in me would be able to share with your son and daughter and get them saved. I want you to know your sons and daughters might be the hope of somebody else's sons and daughters. I remember sitting in West Virginia with Brother Ken and Brother Jamie and Dax Lancaster, and it was me and my Uncle Dana. My Uncle Dana was the only straight one at the table. The rest of us were all ex-drug addicts and drug dealers and criminals and con artists and the worst of the worst. And as I looked around that table, I just wanted to weep so bad. Brother Ken, that just the trash that was sitting there, that God had took that trash and turned it into treasure. Nazareth don't look so bad tonight now. Nazareth don't look so bad to me tonight. I realize this. Somewhere in Nazareth, there's a gem laying around in there. There's a diamond in the rough in your Nazareth tonight. And although it ain't revealed now, you may have to do a little digging. You may have to do a little whacking. You may have to do a little chipping. But somewhere there is a diamond, a precious diamond in your Nazareth. I found this little poem before I left my Aunt Esther's house tonight. It was hanging on the wall the other day and I wrote it down. And here's what it says. When life seems colored in tones of gray, the last little spark has flickered away. Through unbroken darkness, you stumble and grope. You're still not defeated. Just hold on to hope. Hey, Jesus is still alive. He's still God. He's still on the throne. And He's still making a miracle out of your mess tonight. Brother King. Hallelujah.